Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio. This episode is entitled Snap Eyebrows.
I still can't snap my fingers, mm-hmm. And I used to, whenever in elementary school, there were often times where I was pressured, say by music teachers, they're like, okay, now everyone snap. And I was so deeply embarrassed that I could not snap my fingers. I was the only one in my class that I would gesture the mime of snapping and just go. And it was my way of passing, like every single time. Yeah. This happened year after year after year. I also can't quite whistle, but nowadays I can sort of whistle. But snapping and whistling, like, no, but the thing is, whenever I'm trying to whistle in front of people, I start smiling, and then I can no longer whistle. My brothers to this day don't believe I can whistle, but I swear, in my room I will whistle.
I can just do one, and I will pass all the pitch, and
I can't do like a song exactly, but sometimes I can get a really loud whistle, and it took me about...
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I could whistle all along.
Okay, this is a visual, but I want to get it done. I have a couple of snapping tricks. One of them is... Wait. Like you could,
I can snap
like three of them at once.
Like
this
3D,
is the real one.
3D snapping.
Watch this. Watch this. Radio listeners, watch this.
Oh, full knuckle snap.
That's not my knuckles. It's a snapping sound.
I'm just trying to give a visual
for
the radio.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how I discovered it. But
wait, you don't... You were just, do you think you were like anxiously doing that? Because I do things with my hands all the time.
Yeah. So for those listeners, painful. what I've done is I've meshed my fingers together with the palms, apply pressure, like bridging the fingers together while sort of bending at the knuckle, the first knuckle, like the biggest knuckle. And then I sort of angle them. It's really hard to describe. And then pull them down and together rapidly as such.
Deer listeners, caribou listeners, moose listeners,
ungulates of all kinds.
All listeners, not just deers.
This has been Snapping with Jessica McDonald.
I somehow have learned how to pronounce my R's, but
our Nova Scotian R's are different.
Well,
I can
speak in French too with rolling R's. But I used to do W's, so like my name was Gemma Woes.
Oh.
Gemma Woes Leslie, and my brother's name was Tuevo. Tuevo.
Tuevo.
Tuevo. But I actually one time I was brought to what I think was a speech like a therapist. Yeah, but really. It was one of the weirdest experiences in my whole life. In about grade one, I was brought to the principal's office, and I thought I was in trouble, maybe, because I wasn't used to my name being called to the office, right?
Gemma Wolves.
I go to the office, and I'm just introduced to this adult that I've never seen in my life, and she seemed like a professional of some sort. She was very kind, but almost like too kind, and I was thinking, why does she want to meet me? And then she brings me into this side room I had only known as a room for, like, students who had been misbehaving and needed to, like...
The trouble room.
Yeah, the trouble room, essentially. And so I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I was a good student. I was following the rules. And I'm in this room. And she starts by... I don't know if she's trying to get me engaged with activities or if she was actually, like... testing to see what was up with me, but she gets me first to hop up and down on one foot. So I do that. You know, I can do that confidently, 6-year-old me. And then she goes, okay, now go to the door. touch the doorknob, come back, spin around, and tap your head. I was a six-year-old thinking, does she think, like, what is going on? I thought, I know that I'm capable of these tasks. I know that not every child is, and that's fine. But I knew that I was, and that there were no clues to my teachers that would, like, lead, or my parents, that would lead me to think that I couldn't follow these directions that were spinning around, touching a doorknob, jumping up, down. So I thought maybe she's trying to get me excited and engaged. But really, it was confusing and upsetting me.
It led
to her pulling. I still didn't know what was going on, but I followed without questioning. And then she hands me this piece of paper. Oh, I know what's going on now. I look at the piece of paper and I see the pattern within 5 seconds of looking. I see that every cartoon clip art image on it and every word underneath were R related images. There was a raccoon, there was a recycling bin, there was a real estate agent. a raging Rupert random.
Wow.
And then she goes, so she's saying, okay, jump on one foot, touch the doorknob, now say these words. And I thought, are you trying to trick me?
You are Nazi.
I knew exactly what was going on, but it was the most misleading, roundabout way to get me to say these words. But the most frustrating part to me as a six-year-old was I knew I couldn't pronounce these words. I tried anyways, but I said, you know, wabbit. I don't know. I was saying, what's cycling bin? I went
real estate agent.
I read it all.
Reactive processes.
I went through the whole list. I embarrassed myself. I said it all, and then she gives me the sheet and she goes, says, okay, now go home and read this every day. Practice it.
Oh, good.
And I think, do you think I don't practice saying R words in my everyday life all the time? What I didn't understand, I never met with her once again in my life. There was no follow-up ever. There was never any follow-up. My parents didn't address, from my memory, I don't remember anyone addressing like that they set this up or that this, or teachers or anything. This happened and then it passed and I remember bringing the sheet home and I did practice it maybe once or twice thinking I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to learn my R's this way. But now in hindsight, I think I used the English language and French at the time.
But have your eyebrows ever sort of teamed up you, like conspired against you? Because,
absolutely.
Yeah.
When my mind wasn't in teams with it, with them, like when I was a young teen and trying to get rid of them. How old was I?
Yeah.
Like 12, probably.
Oh my God.
Like beginnings of like knowing that I should, you know, become some kind of standardized person. Yeah.
That's at the same time that your eyebrows usually grow consciousness, right? Like around the age of 12, you go through puberty. You go through puberty and then the eyebrows are usually the last to develop.
And for some people it doesn't come until second grade.
Of course. No.
When they fully come into their own development.
I feel like this is a good space to talk about my eyebrows and puberty.
You should do both together.
Yeah.
I have few brows.
It would be that way. It's all natural.
Did they develop your second puberty?
Yes, that is correct.
What age was second puberty?
It was last year. So I'm 30 now, so it was when I was 29. There are a couple of other changes that, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, I...
We don't usually talk about this stuff, on the radio. No. So it's really nice that you, you're sharing this, because it's very vulnerable, but it's also very generous.
What changes does your body go through at second puberty at 30?
Well, it's different for everybody, and there is a range,
I'm curious specifically in the
that's just one. That's honestly one of the things I've gone through. The thing with second puberty is that it's not gender specific, and for people who are gender nonconforming, like myself, it tends to happen later, which is that's one of the indicators. Is like, when is it coming? When is it coming? And it's like, oh, okay,
that's true.
There we go.
That's so relatable.
You embrace your gender identity.
Yes. Yeah. It sort of goes hand in hand. So speaking of hand in hand, you do get. Grow hair between your fingers.
Those also eyebrows?
That's so nice for winter.
No, it's it's good for winter. It's good for extrasensory perception. It's they're sort of like little antenna. The hairs on your head also can
fly?
No, not long, like little subtle ones, so you just become more aware of like temperatures and
not like pubes.
Some people become aware of like taste and an olfactory senses
can you
through
sense
their hands.
Your aura with your hands?
Yeah, absolutely. They're here. You don't have to shave. They're just they're micro hairs.
Okay.
And they also serve as
them. Barbs.
I can climb walls with them too. Oh, the pube brows. There's not really much to say. I mean, as the region down there is feeling, so the brows express.
Like,
yes.
You know how you furrow your brows?
Oh, you can furrow your
pubes. Can you furrow your pube brows?
Yes, absolutely. I've developed one of these. I furrow them a lot because I've experienced a lot of frustration around relationships and intimacy. Which, you know, I don't, yeah.
Can we expect to go through this? Can you prep us, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the stages?
First symptoms might be a tingling sensation in your lower abdomen, upper pubic region. Mm-hmm. It, often for people, it is confused with a sort of arousal, because again, that can be something that is experienced differently for different people.
But
the sort of it's almost like the butterflies. Some people's pube brows are below their nipples.
It's a unibrow, and it's above the belly button is the eye. And there's one eyebrow. I've never talked about this before, actually. I didn't know it was so common.
Another thing that a lot of people who identify as female or somewhat female, and I have the beginnings of this, but they haven't fully developed, is nipple brows.
Oh, yeah.
So we all
have that, though. That usually happens during first puberty.
Nipple brows?
A thick layer of hair.
Just above. Very expressive.
Very expressive. They express emotions in a more genuine way than your facial expressions do. So if you're feeling shock or concern or even empathy for things that you I've only told a few close friends about this because it's pretty sensitive. But I'm feeling ready. I processed this for quite a few years now, and I'm ready to talk about it. So, about 6 years ago, it started with one eyebrow on my face, but the second one closely followed. They left me. And I wasn't prepared. I wasn't... There were no signs. I just woke up one day and one of my eyebrows were gone, and I thought at first that maybe I had mistakenly shaven it off. I was really it was very confusing. Some of you listeners may relate to this, I don't know, but I thought okay, what happened last night? Was I drinking? Did I shave my eyebrow? And I thought, no, I had a really wholesome night and there was no shaving happening, but my eyebrow was definitely gone, and it changed my modes of expression.
It happens, you know. You get high brow, low brow, eyebrow, no brow.
Right,
because
bro.
They stop
getting
along.
That's where...
comes from.
Something that's pretty common are eyebrow arguments, and this is between the highbrow and lowbrow world. So one eyebrow thought it was better than the other.
Yeah.
They left for Buenos Aires for about 3 months.
Really?
And then the other one ended up leaving. No. And then the other one's on my face, and I could tell it was in a pretty tense mood because it was stuck in a position that didn't align with my feelings. So people thought I was in deep thought, but I wasn't. It looked like I was in deep thought, and it's because my eyebrow was going through some feelings. Eventually, the second eyebrow also left. About a year later, they return. And when they returned, there was some awkward silence. They didn't address any of the issues. I tried to start conversations, but they'd fall asleep every time that I went to counseling for a few sessions, and it was only me talking and my the hairs under my nose above my lip that would converse, and they were just really annoying. They didn't have anything useful to say.
No.
Yeah, and then my eyebrows finally joined the conversation a few months ago, and that's when I found out one of them went to Buenos Aires. The other went to, I think it was St. Albert's. It was in Alberta.
Oh, so I had a roommate from St. Albert.
Yeah. It's a common place for eyebrows to escape to.
We have a good theater scene there, too, actually.
This one, maybe my...
Anyways,
my eyebrow went there. So they went to two very... One of them had to take air travel. Like, it was pretty extensive. It was its first time off my face. So... honestly, I think the experience would have been better if they had communicated with me. But there was no communication.
I try being assertive, I try being kind, I try complying, rolling over, but mostly I just get written off as quiet, meek, submissive. I don't really know what you want me to say.
How do you feel when I pluck you, when I try to groom or pluck or draw?
I feel like I provide and provide. I'm always growing, trying to grow and learn, but it's never enough. I'm always being cut down and changed, shaped by society.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know you felt that way.
I also understand the pressures that you're under, beauty standards,
and
perhaps you don't want a foreign body growing forward.
Who am I again? Righty, left, I'm lefty. Oh, right. Right. Oh, they think they're right all the time. That's what they're named, but they're not right. And they went to jump, and I went to pirouette, and we busted, we brushed bosoms, and it was delicate, and it was sensual, and they haven't mentioned it since I gave my heart to that performance.
Now that you've returned, now you've chosen to return to me.
Well, thank you for asking. It has been a time of change and growth, as I mentioned. Time works differently for eyebrows. It's sort of like humans and dog years are counted differently. I'm actually 8,732 years old in eyebrow years. So I may sound like the voice of a child to you, but in terms of my people, I'm an experienced elder. I actually came from a much older gentleman before I came to your face. And I learned many lessons from that man. And that ultimately is why I returned to you, to your face. That he was... And his grandfather before him.
Last eye of the show.
No relation to you.
No one even looked at poor lefty over here.
Right, bro, here. I didn't realize that you felt that way.
We were a team!
I felt that when we brushed brows, that we were one. Bosoms. We were one.
Our bosoms.
And I thought that we had united, but you ignored
you
me.
Listener, you have tiny bugs on your face, and they're actually beneficial to the microbiome of your skin. You know, your skin is the largest organ of your body.
Common aspect of our lives, like our eyebrows will be fighting against each other, and like they'll be like finding who's right and who's wrong and who's left and who's right, you know. And I feel like since this culture, you know, this like culture of standardizing eyebrows in a one way, we've kind of tried to separate them. Like monobrows are not really like a tendency anymore, and like it's seen as a thing that is negative.
All right, I will call you. What does 103.5 degrees do to your skin?
Like,
turn left in 600 meters.
Lives, you know?
Yes, Gemma. Why do you separate us so?
Castle, queen size.
I also agree. Gemma just doesn't seem
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Understand. I want to be one.
Castle, queen size.
I'm sorry, I didn't even know that any of this was happening.
All right, here's what I found on the web for. Castle, queen size. A castle, queen size, from Wikipedia, is a castle built for a queen and not for a king, similar to a queen-sized bed, which is 6 inches wider than a double bed. Do you want me to read more information on this topic?
Do they, the covering for a queen-sized head, or king-sized head, or queen-sized head?
Now calling mom. Hello? Hello? Johnny, is that you?
Oh, how do you... Oh, that's a cordless. I got the closed phone. I'm sorry, honey.
Hello? Is this a wrong number?
No, I got the phone upstairs. I'm sorry.
Oh! Hello? I got the phone downstairs. Hang up!
I don't know how. How do you...
You press the button!
There's a stick on it.
There's a button that says end!
It's buttons all over the front of it. This whole thing is a button.
Johnny, is that you? Hello? Your father can't figure out how to turn off the cordless. I'm on my fancy new iPhone.
I don't want the screen.
It's the one that you got. It's the same as the one that you got for me.
One button.
Hello? Johnny? Harold, you need to hang up the phone. It's beating back. Johnny, I'll have to call you back. Your mom is having another episode.
The more that I delve into my deeper thoughts, the more that I realize the parallels between the logic that computers use rather than the irrational logic, or quote-unquote logic, that humans use. I think about myself, and I think about others, and I wonder why we're here, and I ask Siri.
What's that name of that song I keep thinking about?
Let me look that up for you. Old Town Road was a popular hit from 2019. Would you like me to play Old Town Road? I'm sorry, you are not logged in to Spotify. Would you like to purchase a premium Spotify account?
It's moments like this where I wonder, do I want to purchase a premium Spotify account? They collect my money, my data, but how fun would it be to look back every year on the top played songs that I...
I'm sorry, did you say, help me collect, find a date? Here's what I found on the web.
The more that I think about the apps that I use, the more I question the true essence of myself. Honestly, I think the most genuine version of myself can be found on my phone. I look at the photos, I look at the apps, I look at the messages I've sent through Facebook, and I question, Why am I doing this? Day after day, month after month, year after year.
Untitled Goose Game was a popular game for the Nintendo Switch in 2019. Would you like to download Untitled Goose Game for your iPhone?
I'd played Untitled Goose Game 2 times over. It helped me work through some of the problems I'd been thinking about, but the goose felt more real than myself.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
I think about how the voices on my phone are female. I think about myself and my own gender, or lack of gender. And I think about how I want to move forward with technology in relation to my own life. I always mean to call my mom more often, but I never do. I always mean to do so many things that I never do. Technology enables me, but it stops me at the same time.
I wonder why I even have this phone. I have an urge to throw it into the river, but I stop myself and put it back in my pocket. I wonder if we'll ever connect on the same level that I imagine us connecting on. I try to think about how technology can help us, but in the end, it always divides us. It brings us further and further. It probably doesn't help that I smashed my iPhone with a hammer last week. I just couldn't help it. I was feeling angry. I was feeling angry at technology, at my family. The hammer was in front of me. The phone was in my pocket. And it just sort of happened. I was listening to a great soundtrack. I was listening to this music that just revved me up, and Siri suggested it. It happened so quickly. And as the contact between hammer, glass, screen, smashed and touched and shattered, I noticed a dialing sound. It called my mother again. The phone was in pieces, but a voice emerged.
Hello? Hello? Are you one of those telemarketers?
No, Mom, it's me. It's me.
Are you trying to sell me another computer? Because I already have 4 computers.
No, Mom, can you hear me?
Hello?
Mom?
Oh, sweetie, it's good to hear from you. You never call your mother.
I'm sorry, I just broke my phone. I don't know if we'll get to talk again for a while.
You broke up with that Australian man? You know, I never liked him anyway.
No, Ma, I broke my phone.
You broke a phone?
I try and I try.
It was hopeless. The more that I tried to use this technology to help me connect with those around me, the more distant I became.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio. This episode featured Gemma Leslie, Jessica McDonald, Pascal E., and David Clark. Music for this episode was by Ross Unger. Sound design and mixing are by David Clark, and Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at NASCAD University in Halifax. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.